You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. For Wednesday, January 10th, I'm Scott Engel. Thanks for joining me as you do every morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm here every single day bringing you what happened in fantasy sports last night, what's going to happen today, and all my analysis where it makes sense and where you want it. So lots to cover today. It's another busy day in fantasy sports, even though fantasy football is over. We have a lot of NFL news, including a breaking story overnight that you may have not heard of yet. A prominent offensive coordinator in the NFL was fired, so stay tuned for that. We're going to talk about that next. Most outlets don't seem to be reporting that yet, although one major radio station is. We'll also give you some updates for those of you playing this weekend in DFS and also maybe draft leagues, etc., some minor injury updates. We'll talk about the NBA. Was a busy night in the association. Only four games, but, you know, there was a fight in one of them. Some injury updates in the NBA. Who's going to play tonight? Who is not? Major name in the NBA going to be out for tonight. You'll have to compensate or might present some opportunities in DFS. There will be 11 games in the association tonight, including the Knicks and the Bulls tonight. I will be on site covering that game with Frank Stample of the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And we'll have some interviews for you tomorrow morning based on that Knicks-Bulls game. We'll talk about Major League Baseball. We have some rumors that continue to fly as a lot of big names are still out there. And yesterday, Brian Cashman and also some other outlets giving a better picture of what to expect in the Yankees outfield, who's going to play where in 2018 for some of you that's still a little confused about how that's going to go down. Golf, nothing to report, but the Sony Open will tee off on Thursday. Of course, check out the full preview on rotoexperts.com today from Matt Rumack, and you also want to go to dailyroto.com to get their great product, which has been upgraded for this year. A lot of daily fantasy golf players use it for their success. We'll talk about the National Hockey League as well. It was a much busier night last night with seven games, just one the night before. We'll update you on a prominent defenseman that was actually benched and why the team may have done it. And we'll finish up with some esports today. As we've been telling you all week, the Overwatch League begins tonight with three matches in Burbank, California. Make sure you listen to the new show on our network on demand, 1-2 Punch with Zareen T, for the latest in esports. But we'll start with the NFL and a story that maybe you're just waking up to next here on Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel. Lots of NFL news yesterday as we get closer to the wild card round, the divisional playoffs this week. And we'll have wall-to-wall coverage right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The Roto Experts follow me from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And then you have the Fantasy Frenzy from 10 to 11 and the Fantasy BFFs from 11 to noon. Don't forget to listen to me with Tony Cincotta now, 3 to 4 Eastern, every weekday afternoon on the Fantasy News Desk. And also I'll be back with Corey Parson for some battles on the Roto Experts in the morning. Weekend edition, 9 to noon, now Saturdays with myself, Corey, and Mike Blewett. And, of course, you can always listen to this show on demand in podcast form, iTunes, Google Play, Audio Boom, etc. Before we get to the breaking story from the overnight, let's just get the official one out of the way is the Raiders hired John Gruden as their head coach, officially introducing him yesterday. Gruden has not coached since 2008. It was confirmed Greg Olsen will be his offensive coordinator. As the Raiders, who have not won a playoff game since 2002, looking to re-enter a new era here. There's a lot of talent there, obviously, but they haven't been able to get enough out of it. Last year, they played really well, though. Derek Carr got injured. They couldn't go anywhere in the playoffs. But this team has a lot of talent. Maybe Gruden can get the most out of it. All right, the breaking story from overnight that you may have not heard yet as you're waking up this morning is that the Seattle Seahawks have finally fired offensive coordinator Darrell Bevell after 15 seasons. A lot of people who follow and observe the Seahawks have been pushing for this move for some time, maybe since the end of Super Bowl 49. That one of the most controversial calls in NFL history when the Seahawks threw a pass from the 1 yard line instead of handing the ball to Marshawn Lynch. And it was intercepted by Malcolm Butler in a play that nobody will ever forget. But Bevell has been under fire ever since then. Since he took over 7 seasons ago, the Seahawks, for a good part of their tenure, had one of the best rushing offenses in the NFL. Russell Wilson had spectacular seasons in 2015 and 2017, but the play calling has come under a lot of fire, especially this year when Wilson had to carry too much of the offense. The Seahawks did not make the playoffs for the first time since 2011. This report is according to KJR Sports Radio in Seattle. Over the years, especially since the end of Super Bowl 49, Pete Carroll has stood behind Darrell Bevell. A lot of the players have stood behind Darrell Bevell. And Doug Baldwin even lashed out at reporters recently who were saying that, asking maybe was it the play calling? He said no, it was the execution. You guys need to back off our offensive coordinator. But according to KJR Sports Radio in Seattle, Darrell Bevell, according to their sources, has been let go as the offensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks. There are rumors that longtime offensive line coach Tom Cable could be next. For those of you who watch the Seahawks this year or even followed them remotely at all, the offensive line was a big issue for several years. It was pretty much Cable's MO to take guys like J.R. Sweezy and other players like that who didn't have a lot of experience, George Fant, and try to turn them into projects during the season, and often it didn't work out. The Seahawks not making the playoffs this year. It looks like they're moving in another direction in terms of what their play calling is going to be and how they're going to handle the offensive line. So this is going to be very interesting how it'll work out for fantasy purposes next year. I would not be surprised to see the Seahawks draft or sign a running back of more prominence, even though Mike Davis showed some signs late in the year. Russell Wilson had a terrific fantasy year and probably ranked as the number 2 fantasy quarterback going into next year by a lot of people. But I think they want to relieve him of a lot of that burden, which might cause a hit to his fantasy numbers. As good as Wilson has been for fantasy purposes, they don't want him carrying the entire offense by himself, especially in past seasons when he had such a good running game and there was more offensive balance when this team used to win a lot more games. So how this is going to affect fantasy football outlooks is very interesting. We'll see if the Seahawks make some other moves to patch up the offensive line during the season. They acquired Brent Dwayne Brown during the season. But offensively, this team is going to look to strike more offensive balance after it ranked 15th this past season. So for those of you doing early drafts, early rankings, etc., you may want to hold back on expecting another super-duper season from Russell Wilson statistically, because the Seahawks don't want him to carry the offense all by himself, even though he demonstrated that he can more than capably do that if he has to. But it's not going to win ball games for them, even though it might win a lot of fantasy games for you. So you might want to temper your expectations for Wilson just a little bit, and a lot's going to play out more here during the offseason. We'll see if Cable is going to be let go as well. Mike Shula was also fired as the offensive coordinator of the Carolina Panthers in a story that most of you know about already. The Carolina offense finishing 19th this past season. Their perception is that there's just not enough consistency on this offense, that Cam Newton has not been consistent enough, that the pieces in the passing game have never really developed as hoped. The running game has shown a lot of potential, as much potential as Christian McCaffrey has shown this year. That 56-yard run you saw, catch and run you saw against the Saints, there just wasn't enough of it this year. They didn't get McCaffrey loose enough for explosive plays. There is talent out there. You got Greg Olsen. You got Devin Funchess. And obviously Carolina wants to get more out of this team starting next year. A lot of people who follow the Panthers always felt that Shula was holding them back. So in Carolina and Seattle this morning, the fan base is probably feeling a lot better about things going heading into 2017. And where we talked is with the offensive change in Seattle, where it might hurt Wilson's numbers, you can only hope that with a new offensive coordinator, things might get better for Cam Newton in terms of consistency. And according to NFL.com, one of the Panthers' first opportunities that they will give for this offensive coordinator vacancy is to North Turner. This might strike some onlookers as something that maybe the Panthers shouldn't do. Maybe the game is past North Turner by. He was not in the league last year. His last few years with the Vikings and the Browns weren't all that impressive. So this could be a questionable move as well. We'll have to see what happens here. But this was the first guy publicly identified to replace Shula. The Chiefs promoted running backs coach Eric Bieniemy to their offensive coordinator position, which means that Andy Reid will probably still handle a lot of the play calling after Matt Nagy left to become the coach of the Chicago Bears after an impressive run late in the season. Overall, Kansas City finished 5th in total offense this season in the NFL. So maybe the Chiefs are not going to mess with too much what they do offensively. And, of course, I think everybody's expecting a quarterback change this upcoming season. That's no news to anybody. The Ravens promoted linebackers coach Don Martindale to the defensive coordinator position. Martindale has worked internally with the organization in some way since 2004. The Baltimore defense finished 12th overall this season and was perceived by a lot of fantasy players to even be better than that. So I don't think you're going to see a lot of changes in what they do stylistically here. ESPN reporting that the Packers are going to hire former Browns coach Mike Pettine as their defensive coordinator. People remember him for the failures with the Browns, but he was regarded as a very good defensive coordinator before getting that job, and maybe this is one of these coaches to just do better as a coordinator. He was very good with the Jets from 2009 to 2012. A lot of Jet fans will remember that he was the right-hand guy to Rex Ryan when the Jets went to two AFC title games and actually led the number one defense in the NFL. He was a big part of that in 2009. So he can certainly clear his name if he does a good job with Cleveland here, which does have some talent. The NFL Network also reporting that the Chargers were happy with the coaching results they got last year. They're expected to bring back Gus Bradley as the defensive coordinator. The team was 15th in the NFL in total defense last year. But when Denzel Perryman was healthy, they played much better. Bradley was rumored to be going back to Seattle or Green Bay, but that's not going to happen. We'll tell you more about the Chargers and their outlook for next year next.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel. We mentioned that the Chargers expected to bring back Gus Bradley. There were rumors that he might go back to the Seahawks if Chris Richard left, that the Packers were interested in him. He's had a lot of success, both with Seattle and some other teams, but they're going to retain him. Also, they're going to retain offensive coordinator Ken Whisenhunt. They should be very happy with the job that he did, the Los Angeles Chargers. I keep calling them San Diego. I'm so used to it. And yesterday, I was calling the Brooklyn Nets the New Jersey Nets. I need to get my cities right and get up with the times here. But the Chargers finishing fourth in the league in total offense under Whisenhunt. Good news for you fantasy players. Expect more good out of Melvin Gordon, Keenan Allen, etc. next year. And also, of course, tight end Hunter Henry, especially if Antonio Gates doesn't return. They do want Antonio Gates to return. Antonio Gates does want to return, but whether he'll be back or not, that is still remaining to be seen. The Jets are expected to retain offensive coordinator John Morton, according to published reports. The Jets finishes 25th in total offense overall. But for those of you who've watched the Jets or just played fantasy football, they got a lot out of what people expected to be a little. Maybe Josh McCown will be back for this upcoming season. A lot will depend on the quarterback position. If McCown is somehow back, suffered a big injury late in the year, that does bode well for Robbie Anderson. The Jets want to get quarterback at that stability at that quarterback position, so Robbie Anderson can maybe be a good fantasy wide receiver too for next year. Showed a lot of potential this year. According to the NFL Network, Matt Nagy, the new Bears head coach, is expected to retain defensive coordinator Vic Fangio. The Bears had a top 10 showing in defense this year. We're actually maybe a little bit more one of the underrated units in the league. Played pretty well at times, so not a surprise this year. In some other news not relating to coaching, ESPN reported that John Harbaugh is not quite ready to anoint Alex Collins as his number one running back for 2018. Also mentioning Kenneth Dixon coming back, etc. Not ready to hand him the job just yet. For those of you doing early rankings, thinking about doing early drafts just for fun, this is going to maybe hurt his stock a little bit. But in 12 starts this year for Alex Collins, who had a breakout year, 212 rushes, 973 yards, 6 touchdowns. We saw a lot of progress. Seattle cut him last year because he had too many fumbling problems. Of course, the Seahawks would probably like to have him back. And then he had some fumbling problems early for the Ravens, but once he got those under wrap, once he got that problem curbed and under wraps, he proved to be a very explosive cutback runner who could change gears really well and showed a lot of potential. This just might be coach speak and John Harbaugh trying to motivate Alex Collins. So I would still look to him to be the first running back that I would draft from the Raven next year. I think he showed a lot of potential this year and probably just needs another good preseason to cement himself as a number one running back. The Miami Herald reporting that Ryan Tannehill should be ready for the start of OTAs in April. So looks like Jay Cutler probably won't be back with the Dolphins. And here's some injury updates for this weekend's divisional playoffs. Chris Hogan was limited in practice with a shoulder problem, as it's been reported that he will probably play this week against the Tennessee Titans. How much you can expect from him, you just don't know, because Hogan has just not been the same for most of the season since suffering this injury early in the schedule. Even when he played recently, he wasn't very effective. Rex Burkhead was limited in practice as he recovers from a shoulder injury. Burkhead is expected to play this weekend against Tennessee and should be a good DFS target again. The Titans are somewhat tough up front with their defensive line and their linebackers, but Burkhead is versatile. This offense is going to move, and he's going to get goal line scoring opportunities if he's in there. James White is limited, but expected to play this week so far from all the reports that we're seeing. This could bring back a three-headed monster of Deion Lewis, Rex Burkhead, and James White, which would make things a little bit hard to predict in terms of what you're going to do fantasy-wise with DFS. Mike Gillisley not expected to be in the mix. He missed practice again with a knee problem. DeMarco Murray did not practice, looking very iffy for that game against the New England Patriots. You should probably see a very large role from Derrick Henry this week, as the game plan for the Titans is probably going to be heavy ball control. Keep the ball out of Tom Brady's hands, and that all goes to Derrick Henry in terms of offensive game planning. Jay Ajayi is practicing in full as he works through a knee issue. He's expected to be ready for this week's divisional playoff game against the Falcons, but you just never know who's going to get the ball in that backfield. Julio Jones did not practice, but it was a day of maintenance pretty much for Jones. You should expect to see him this week in Philadelphia in the Battle of the Birds. So that's it for the NFL today. Let's move on to the National Basketball Association. It was a light night in the association. Only four games, but still enough news coming out of the NBA. Tyler Johnson, who's been a really nice pickup over the last month or so for some seasonal NBA players, did not play on Tuesday in Toronto because of a left shoulder strain. He injured himself in pregame, and this is the same shoulder that he had a surgery on in 2016. So his outlook for the second night of a back-to-back for the Heat tonight is certainly not good. Derrick Jones Jr. started in his place, just 8 points and 5 rebounds, a significant loss for the Heat if he's going to miss an extended period of time. Jonathan Simmons continues to battle back problems. He returned to the lineup last night against Dallas, but he only scored 3 points as he missed 6 of 7 shots from the field. Right now, there's just no way you can put him in your lineup. Aaron Gordon was benched yesterday by the Magic. He was reportedly late for the team playing on Monday, but still, he was back with the starting five at the beginning of the second half. In a 15-point loss to Dallas, still finished with 19 points, and he played 33 minutes, so just something disciplinary there. Also, in that Heat game, James Johnson and Serge Ibaka were ejected for fighting. Both could be facing one-game suspensions, so that's something you're going to need to be aware of as you continue to set your lineup. Bam Adebayo had to step forward And he did just that with 16 points and a career-high 15 rebounds and also career-best 5 blocks after doing a lot of his damage after the Johnson ejection. Here's a big piece of news for those of you getting ready for tonight. Anthony Davis, who sprained his right ankle the other night, is not expected to play Wednesday against the Memphis Grizzlies. Alvin Gentry telling reporters that he's probably going to miss the game, but that there's likely no structural damage. So right now he's day-to-day, and you just can't expect him to play tonight. You know this comes with the territory when you draft Anthony Davis. Miles Turner injured himself on a dunk the other night against Milwaukee. And he is not expected to play against the Miami Heat tonight as he has a sore right elbow as the Pacers just ran all over the Bucks the other night. Turner was one of a few guys that had a good game, so they'll miss him tonight. Nikolai Mirotic is questionable because of a stomach bug for tonight's game at New York. The Bulls are 3-21 without Mirotic in the lineup. Michael Beasley, as he continues to deal with an ankle problem that kept him out of the Knicks' last game at Dallas, he is iffy for tonight as he continues to deal with that ankle problem. Alan Crabb, who hurt himself late in Brooklyn's game the other night against Toronto, is not expected to play for the Brooklyn Nets tonight. So that's your injury updates. Let's move on to the box scores. There were only 4 games last night in the NBA. The Trailblazers overcoming the Thunder 117-106. The Thunder were great in December, but now all of a sudden they're starting to skid. The Trailblazers won for the 12th time in 20 road games. The Thunder lost for just the 7th time in 21 home games, but they're starting to skid a little bit lately, and the momentum from December is just not there right now. Shabazz Napier stepping forward again with Damian Lillard out. 21 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists. He was a plus 11 last night, and this guy is great DFS play every time Lillard misses a game. CJ McCollum with 27 points and 7 assists. Yusuf Nurkic, 20 points, 8 rebounds, and 2 assists. Also, for the Oklahoma City Thunder, Russell Westbrook, 22 points, 9 rebounds, 12 assists, just short of his 15th triple-double of the season. Carmelo Anthony, 19 points, 6 rebounds. He shot 8 for 17 from the field and 3 of 9 from 3-point range. Steven Adams, 16 points, 6 rebounds. Paul George, 22 points, only 4 rebounds and 2 assists. Raymond Felton had 13 points off the bench for the Thunder, but not somebody really that is a much of a name in fantasy basketball anymore. Those days are gone. The Heat, with a surprising road victory over the Raptors, who had a 12-game home winning streak snapped, 90-89 on a game-winning shot by Wayne Ellington. This was a stunner. We'll tell you more about the Heat and the Raptors coming up next. We'll talk some hot stove baseball and some NHL and some eSports. All that and more coming up next here on Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. products. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, stunning home loss for the Raptors last night, in which tempers flared. As we told you, the Heat 90, the Raptors 89. Jason Richardson with an off night, only 6 points and 6 rebounds. Hassan Whiteside, 13 points, 15 rebounds. Kelly Olynyk was quiet last night, 4 points, 5 rebounds in this defensive battle. Goran Dragic, though, 24 points and a career high, 12 rebounds to go along with 4 assists. We mentioned Wayne Ellington had the game-winning shot. He scored 15 points off the bench. For the Raptors, we mentioned Serge Ibaka getting involved in that fight. He had 11 points and 5 rebounds in 22 minutes. Jonas Valanciunas, only 8 points and 3 rebounds in his second night of a back-to-back. He didn't play too well. With Kyle Lowry out, as we told you he was going to be, DeLon Wright went into the starting lineup, played 29 minutes, 13 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. He's been a hot pickup recently. DeMar DeRozan, 25 points, 6 assists. He shot 10 for 29 from the field last night. In other NBA action last night, in a game that only fantasy players maybe would want to watch, Orlando lost to Dallas as the Mavericks stopped a 3-game losing streak, and the Mavericks have now won the Magic getting 12 points from Evan Fournier last night. Bismack Biyombo with 8 rebounds and only 1 block shot. Not a good night from him. Off night for Elfrid Payton as well. Only 8 points in 23 minutes. Mario Hezonja, 14 points. Aaron Gordon did not start, as we mentioned. Maurice Bates had 13 points off the bench. DJ Augustine showed up with 18 points off the bench. For the Mavericks, Dirk Nowitzki was tied as the top scorer last night with 20 points. Dennis Smith Jr. also had 20 points and 7 rebounds. 15 for Harrison Barnes with six rebounds. Wesley Matthews with 16. And also Yogi Ferrell playing well off the bench as well. Again, 15 points. If he ever gets a chance to crack the starting lineup because of an injury, that's a guy that you want to keep an eye on. Sacramento and the Lakers. How about this? The Lakers actually have won back-to-back games now, actually putting together a little bit of a losing streak despite all the controversy that seems to surround them with one of their guards' fathers. And talking about that, Lonzo Ball did miss 8 of 10 shots from the field and 6 of 7 three-point attempts, but he did have 11 rebounds and 11 assists and a career-high 5 steals. So while he certainly hurt in shooting percentage last night, he was getting it done in other categories. Julius Randle with 22 points and 14 rebounds and 6 assists last night. Brandon Ingram with 15 points, 5 rebounds. Also, Brooke Lopez with a good night. 18 points for Lopez, but only 3 rebounds. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope had 16 points last night. Larry Nance Jr. with 10 off the bench. For Sacramento last night, Fox had 15 points. And you know, this guy who's again in the starting lineup and you got to keep your eye on. Buddy Hield had 13. Zach Randolph, not a good night, 22 points. 22 minutes, only 7 points. He missed 10 shots from the field. He did have 12 rebounds. Trade rumors continue to surround him as well. So that was it for the night in the NBA. There are going to be 11 games tonight on the schedule for you daily fantasy players. So a lot of fun to look forward to. Make sure you listen to Lineup Like Lock Live with Tony Cincotta and Dane Martinez tonight from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern. And also make sure you're subscribed to DailyRoto.com for all the latest alerts in your inbox. I will be at Knicks Bulls tonight at 7:30. I'll have some interviews for you tomorrow morning after that game. That one tips off at 7:30 at Madison Square Garden. The Mavericks will try to make it two in a row on the second night of a back-to-back at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern tonight against the Hornets, and another game only fantasy players could love at the Spectrum Center. The line is Charlotte minus 6.5. The over-under is 208.5. The Heat will take on the Pacers back-to-back nights for the Heat. The Pacers coming off a big win in Milwaukee. The line is Indiana minus 4.5. The over-under is 208, but the Pacers play at a very high pace here, so something to look at for Daly. The Jazz will take on the Wizards tonight. Washington minus 7.5. The over-under is 205. The Pistons will take on the Nets. Caris LeVert is back for the Nets. He was able to play the other night. Over-under is 204.5. The line Detroit minus 2. The Trailblazers will try to keep the momentum going against the Rockets, who have split their four games so far without James Harden. This game will be at the Toyota Center, tipping off at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. The Pelicans will take on the Grizzlies. No Anthony Davis tonight, but if you're going to rest him, do it against the Grizzlies. The line is New Orleans minus 1. The over-under is 210.5. DeMarcus Cousins should be widely owned tonight in DFS. The Magic will take on the Bucks. The Bucks trying to rebound for a very, very uninspired performance the other night against the Pacers. And they get the Magic, who have lost 6 in a row. The over-under is 218. The line's Milwaukee minus 10.5. Got to like Antetokounmpo tonight in this matchup. The Thunder and the Timberwolves on ESPN at 8 o'clock Eastern. The Thunder try to get back on track tonight in the second game of a back-to-back. The over-under is 210.5. The line is Minnesota minus 4. The Hawks and the Nuggets tonight. Denver minus 9.5, over-under 215.5. At 10:30 p.m. Eastern, it finishes off tonight with the Clippers and the Warriors. We don't know if we'll see Kevin Durant tonight. Blake Griffin is not expected to play. This game will be on ESPN as well. So that's it for the NBA. Let's talk some hot stove baseball, as there was a little bit of buzz yesterday around the majors. Todd Frazier telling the New York Post Kevin Kiernan that his agents have been talking to both the Yankees and the Mets. This guy is a native of New Jersey, would probably like to stay in the area. David Wright, not looking good for him to come back, although he's remaining hopeful. The Mets have been linked to Mike Moustakas, etc., as maybe they look to move on at third base here. Brad Brock telling reporters that he's using more long-distance running in his off-season workouts. He wants to be more effective overall this season, because last year his ERA was 2.58 in the first half and 3.94 in the second half. But Buck Showalter telling local reporters that he's not ready to anoint anyone as the singular closer. He also mentioned Michael Givens, Darren O'Day, and Richard Bly as possibilities to close, although most people are going to assume that Brad Brock is going to be the guy, and we'll see how that works out in spring training. According to The Athletic, the Cubs are staying in touch with the representatives for free agents Yu Darvish, Jake Arrieta, and Alex Cobb, and may be out of the mix for Lance Lynn. In an interview with SiriusXM Radio, Brian Cashman saying that Clint Frazier is a possibility to be moved, but they're also looking at potentially keeping him. And between what he said yesterday and also what we were reading on MLB.com, the Yankees outfield and DH rotation probably going to shake out with Brett Gardner still starting in left field, Aaron Hicks in center with Jacoby Ellsbury likely to be moved, and Giancarlo Stanton, can no longer call him Mike, and Aaron Judge will probably split time in right field and DH on the days they play together, but both have expressed an interest in playing left field. So the Yankees are going to rotate guys around, really, to get them in the lineup. You'll see a lot of Judge and Stanton together, obviously, as one plays right field and the other in DH. But, you know, that could be more rest for Brett Gardner, et cetera. The Yankees also picking up Jabari Blash this offseason and a backup Aaron Hicks. In an interview on Sportsnet 590 in Toronto, Blue Jays general manager Ross Atkins admitted that they are indeed interested in possibly acquiring Christian Yelich, who is on the block with the Marlins along with JT Realmuto. But he also said that there are many, many other teams involved in pursuing Yelich. So it'll be interesting to see if he switches leagues. And also MLB.com noting that the White Sox are hopeful that Carlos Rodon could be their opening day starter, but if not, James Shields may take the mound on opening day. Coming up next, NHL updates and esports here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and Fantasy Sports Today.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel. The NHL veteran defenseman Brent Seabrook was a healthy scratch for Tuesday's game in Ottawa. According to ESPN, it's uncertain how long the benching will last, but ESPN saying that it's clear Coach Joe Quenneville is sending a message to his team. Chris Kreider underwent successful rib surgery on Sunday. He's going to be evaluated in 6 weeks. As the latest update on that surgery, that he's still out indefinitely. And the Wild also announcing that Nito Niederreiter is going to be out for at least a week with a lower body injury. Let's take more look more at what happened in the National Hockey League last night. Busy night. John Carlson, Lars Eller were among those who scored as the Washington Capitals beat the Vancouver Canucks 3-1 for their fifth consecutive victory in NHL best 10th in a row at home. Daniel Sedin scored the only goal on the losing side as Jacob Markstrom made 33 saves for the Canucks, who have lost 5 in a row. It was the Jets 7 and the Sabres 4. Kyle Connor had 2 goals and assists, and Nikolai Ehlers also scored twice, and Winnipeg defeated Buffalo for its third straight win. Patrick Lane was also among the scorers for the Jets. Blake Wheeler had 2 assists to extend his point streak to 7 games. The Lightning 5, the Hurricanes 4, Tyler Johnson with 3 goals. The Predators 2, the Oilers 1. Victor Arvidsson had a goal and assist. The Blackhawks 8, the Senators 2. Nick Schmaltz and Jonathan Toews, each with a pair of goals. And Patrick Kane with a goal and 4 assists. And the Florida Panthers 7 and the Blues 4 as Vincent Trocheck had 2 goals and assists. The Panthers rallying from 2-0 and 3-2 deficits to snap a 3-game losing streak. Let's move on. It's some industry news. According to the Associated Press, New York lawmakers want to know how much money the state is making off of daily fantasy sports. A committee of the state assembly is going to meet today in Albany to review the status of online DFS gaming and their impact on the state's finances. We'll get you more news as it happens. Of course, you can listen to Daily Fantasy Sports Today with Tony Cincotta for more updates on that as well. In esports, the Overwatch League will begin tonight in Burbank, California, with 3 matchups at 7 p.m. Eastern. The San Francisco Shock against the Los Angeles Valiant. The at 9 p.m. Eastern, the Shanghai Dragons versus the Los Angeles Gladiators. At 11 p.m. Eastern, the Dallas Fuel against the Seoul Dynasty, who are ranked number one in the ESPN Overwatch Power Rankings going into the season. Where, if you want to watch some of this action, according to the official Overwatch site, you can check it out on Twitch, MLG.com, the MLG app, and also watch the matches also on OverwatchLeague.com or on the Overwatch League app. And according to ESPN Esports, Activision Blizzard and Twitch announced yesterday that they struck a two-year, $90 million minimum deal to broadcast the first two seasons of the Overwatch League on Twitch. This was first reported by the Sports Business Journal and confirmed by ESPN. So if you go to Twitch tonight, you can catch those three matches. They're broadcast in different languages as well. As the Overwatch League begins tonight, the regular season will run through June. And for more esports updates and news, don't forget to listen to Zorin T on 1-2 Punch on demand right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, Gold.com is going to be showcasing a FIFA esports league from January 11th with live highlight shows every Thursday night. And Alienware is also partnering with Team Liquid to build a 8,000-square-foot building in Los Angeles, according to CNET, that is going to be an esports gym. Coming up next, it's the Roto Experts with Corey, Greg, and Matt.